Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, dude, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell me listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com. The home for suspension. All right. On to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Fly Racing Racer X High Point Motocross Review. Thanks for watching on YouTube, and thanks for listening. If you're a podcast guy, old school, the video stuff has been going really well, good views. All the YouTubers seem to really love me, so it's fantastic to have you guys doing it. Thank you to folks at Fly Racing, Chance Hymus, Cooper Webb, RJ Hampshire, Dean Wilson, even old, retired, washed-up guys like Justin Brayton. They rely on Fly Racing, flyracing.com, Formula Helmet, Evo Gear, Kinetic Mesh, all of it available. Use the code PULPMX when you check out at Fly Racing to save. Head to toe, Fly Racing's got you covered. If you're an off-road guy, check out their patrol gear. Their pants even have like a little pocket for your cell phone. It's great. You can buy that patrol stuff, carry your cell phone around, and all of it. So thanks to Fly Racing for coming on board. Again, use the code PULPMX when you check out. Renthal, Maxxis, Brunt Boots on board as well. Motorsport.com as well. We'll tell you more about them later on. But lots to get into when it comes to High Point. But I'm just glad these two gentlemen are alive because at the end of the broadcast, nobody knew. From Racer X and from the television booth, it is the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, that's right. It was High Point. So you're going to get some hellacious weather at some point. It did rain Friday night to a degree. I think that's the first time guys have ridden Friday press day at High Point in years. So that was actually okay. And then just when we thought we had escaped, yeah, it was super bad. And I forgot this year 2025. I forgot. So nothing good can come of anything, right? I did not realize that people would be outraged that the race got cut short. And long story short, I think a lot of this goes back to there was like some country music concert where a stage collapsed under like adverse weather years ago. And I believe ever since then, insurance people want live events to actually have a plan besides, oh, well. And I think that's why Lightning, we had that huge delay at the New Jersey Supercross, 2 years ago? That was like the first time I ever saw that. I think that's just life now. I know that we didn't have Lightning delays back in the day. I guess we're all soft now. But I think there's a reason. I forgot people would be outraged. Of course they are. My bad.
Bob Hanna's literal thing was a lightning bolt. He brought the lightning, Bob Hanna.
I thought like people would assume that there was a real reason for it. I mean, there was lightning. And then I believe lightning hit a tree in the pits and a car in the pits. I think this actually happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Also on here and from Fly Racing, flyracing.com. He's deep in the East Coast somewhere. The Jason Thomas from his car. What's up, JT?
Not too much. The lengths that we have gone to collectively to make this happen, I think our dedication is shining through to this show right now. No one knows or cares, but we really went the extra mile to bring this show to you. But Weege, you're 100% right on. I thought we were going to make it. I was even talking to some of the higher-ups at MX Sports because this is, of course, their home race. I'm like, man, we got lucky here. And this was right before the parade lap for the 450 class. And of course, we jinxed it. Everything fell apart. I was in that whole lightning melee. It was all around the site. And I grew up in Florida, so it's the lightning capital of the world, where I used to live in Tampa. And you're somewhat used to it, and you can always gauge it by the flash versus how many seconds it takes to get to you. And we were about instantaneous, which means it was in the parking lot somewhere. So yeah, things deteriorated very quickly on Saturday afternoon. That's for damn sure.
Well, I thought it was interesting that all you cronies on the TV side waited until Jet Lawrence got into third before throwing that red flag. How convenient.
We have a lot of input over things like that.
Yeah. Now, Weege, were you aware
wouldn't
that
the series rather wouldn't the series rather have someone else win?
I don't know. It depends on which conspiracy I'm subscribing to. Yeah.
Today. Yeah. Today, anyway. Which one's for today?
So, Weege, I don't know if you like. So, I was home this weekend, didn't go and watched it. And yeah, like you threw the red flag, lightning in the area. We had our little wrap up, and then the screen just froze on the results. So it got to the point, and you weren't answering texts, and it got to the point where in some of our group texts, I said, "Hey, buddy, Weege is gone, and let's put everything in here, but what we remember about him." Because you weren't responding and the TV just froze.
Yeah, the only thing I heard, I think the order was kind of like this, like, we got to get the riders off the track, we got to get the fans out of here, and then eventually it was, I think we were planning on just filling time. And then somewhere along the way I heard, we've lost contact with New Jersey, which I think is, I don't know, maybe where the satellite goes for Peacock or something. And I said to our producer, Chris Bond, personally, losing contact with New Jersey, that's a win for me. Like, I'm always happy to do that.
I think as a general concept, that's a net positive globally.
Yes, I wasn't upset. But I guess what that actually meant was maybe our satellite wasn't working, or maybe our satellite had to be taken down for the lightning. Yes, there was a post-race show that we recorded, and it's probably on YouTube now, but it wasn't live.
So I was over there in and out during this. I was trying to figure out what the hell's happening. Are we doing a post show? Should I be finding athletes? What the hell's happening? So what I understand, we lost Starlink completely. It's where the disconnect happened. We use Starlink to connect with, you know, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, all these broadcast partners. And we lost Starlink, which means we lost our complete upload capability. So we were dead to the world. We were recording it, so they were going to upload everything later. But, yeah, we were off the air.
Well, Barry Carson, Bruce Springsteen, and John Bon Jovi's upset at you each for making that jersey crack. But so were there any?
I made my own move. I haven't lived there for now more than half of my life. So I'm.
Yeah. But you're allowed to do that. If you're a New Jersey native, you're allowed to do that.
I ain't going back. JT, I don't even know the answer to this. When it's raining and stuff like that, we had Katie Osborne working also alongside you this weekend. But in general, I don't even know. Where do you guys go? Are you getting rained on, or do you hide under an easy up? Like, what do you do? I don't even know.
Yeah, similar to there not being a plan, there really wasn't a plan. Like, we were fending for ourselves a little bit. It was like a mixture of trying to be safe, but also trying to do our job because, you know, credit to these guys. Like, Tomac came over. Jet and Hunter came over, Lars came over, like all these people like went out and braved the lightning and rain and all these things to come over and do these interviews. So we're like, let's get our game face on, try to find a backdrop, try to set these things up, get lights in place. Cameramen have camera, like there's a lot happening behind the scenes. There was a lot of running around, as you can imagine, trying to understand what the ask was. Are we taping all this? Is there still a broadcast going on?
So was there anything live at the track? Was there anything live for the fans? Like, hey, Tomac, come on up. Nothing? Or was there that?
No, the fans, it was basically get out of here because you guys are all exposed to lightning.
Okay.
So podium at all. There was no podium. They made the guys at the end of the press conference. Because an hour later, by the way, as this usually works, it was beautiful sunshine again. An hour after this.
Yeah, Kellen.
So they did the press conference, and then they had the top three in each class take a photo in the press conference. And that'll be your podium forever.
Oh, wow.
2025. Yeah.
Yeah. Kellen took a video or put a video on Twitter like shortly after the race, and it was really coming down. And then he put up another one, and the sun, you could see the sun, you know? It's
correct.
Crazy. Yeah. It was nutty for sure. And then also Weege. So the press so then JT's reconnecting or he's gone now. Okay.
Keep going.
So was there is there a post race show going up then with interviews with these guys? I guess you don't know.
It probably is. JT was saying? I would think by now it already is. I mean, this was we're bordering on almost 24 hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was some sort of post race interviews with the top three guys or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I'll have you know, they interviewed Lars.
Oh, nice. Great to hear.
Got it in. There was a Lars interview. So it was handled. The box was checked. We got a Lars interview.
Okay.
I think
fantastic.
It was Katie, not JT, but we still got a Lars interview.
He's tough to get. So anytime you can get the team HRC manager is a good thing for sure.
Yes. Very rarely does he give interviews. I also saw somehow Kellen got him as well. So I don't know how everyone was able to pull it off, but lots of Lars interviews.
Right.
Yeah, there is a post-race show. It was posted 20 hours ago. So
okay. All right. So
late
Saturday also,
night.
Yep. I put this in a couple of texts, but you didn't seem to see it. Or maybe you did. I don't know. The rain was coming down. Second moto was a mutter. Aaron Plessinger was up there. 25 years since KTM had won their first ever race at High Point. Kelly Smith. Mm. And just none of this came to mind? None of this? You didn't think of this?
Well, for starters, I really don't think that Plessinger was in position to win the overall at any point, so I don't really see the connection.
Just a KTM up front and a mutter?
Maybe the fourth place finish? Was that going to remind me of the first place finish? Is it because they sound similar? I'm not really sure.
How about just KTM doing well at this race with Aaron Plessinger, and then KTM did well in 2000?
Wow, I don't know. Are you just a big Kelly Smith fan? I'm not seeing the reasoning at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
As a journalist, as an unbiased journalist, Steve, I don't understand why you would, what you could be getting at here. I don't.
Well, generally, they mark anniversaries every, 10, 20, quarter century. Yep. You know, they kind of, these are big numbers. So 25 is a nice number.
I mean, speaking of big numbers, I mean, KTM had a big bill they had to pay. They had to get investors and all this. I mean, that could go back to that. That might have all started in 2000. I don't know.
Okay, great. Thanks, buddy.
Maybe it's actually your fault.
Okay.
Thank you for Bajaj for jumping in after this.
Yeah. Yep. I never really thought of that, but thanks, buddy. Yeah. JT, you're back.
Maybe that's what kicked it off. I heard in 99 the financials were great.
Mm-hmm. I think somewhere along the Jägermeister ways is when things went sideways. That's just me, though.
You can say that for a lot of ways, not just KTM.
Yeah. So, JT, there is a post-race, and we just checked, the post-race interview with Tomac and the second 450 motos are up. That you guys recorded it, and it's up.
Yeah.
For people who want to check it out. Were, right? Yeah.
Yes, there was a backup plan. It's already don't put your phone directly in the sun or it will shut down. That's a lesson I just learned. Yeah, I just learned that.
Okay.
But we recorded all that thinking, I don't know if they uploaded it to Peacock or not, but I know the plan at the time was to post it to YouTube, and that would be where you could find all these assets later, because we were still recording everything in the truck. We were just weren't streaming it at the time.
All right. Renthal, by the way.
We got Lars.
Lars's team uses Renthal. Bars, sprockets, renthal.com, whether it's the fat bar, whether it's twin wall bar.
Hold on. I have a funny story about that. I have a funny story about Lars. Okay. So Lars brings. Yeah. We love Renthal. Thank you, Paul, for sponsoring the show. Lars brings Jet and Hunter over. Okay. And it's lightning, whatever. I'm like, all right, let's knock these things out. No one's in a great spot here. So I interview Jet and Hunter. Awesome. Cool. They're really like lighthearted. I thought it was fine. And then I'm like, thank you, Lars, for bringing them over. And like everybody kind of disperses. And I purposely didn't interview Lars because he always gets interviewed. And we just had Jet and Hunter on. And I get back to the truck and he's on TV. And I'm like, what happened here? So I don't know. Did Katie just say, I'm interviewing Lars no matter what? Or did, I'm not sure if Bond was like, hey, grab Lars, he's there. But I literally was talking to ours off camera and didn't bring him on because we always have him on. So I, even in my best efforts I could not prevent a Lars interview.
He's a good looking man.
Not good enough.
He speaks well. He's a good interview. He speaks well. He's a good looking man. There's many reasons to have him on for sure. So I don't know. Yeah. Is Katie married?
I want to get to the bottom of.
I don't know.
I want to get to the bottom of that because I literally didn't do it for a reason. I just couldn't stop. It's just, he is a force that cannot be slowed down or
Nope.
Can't even put a hurdle in his way. Nope.
You can't. Nope.
I don't even know why I tried.
Not stop Lars from being interviewed.
Renthal.com, Monster Energy Kawasaki, KTM, Lars's team, Renthal.com for more information. And they got great mountain bike parts. They're available at Power Sports dealers. Their lock-on grip is taking everything by storm. I used the lock-on grip to go 6.6 at the regional at Paula. So there is that selling feature as well. And also, speaking of our buddy Dark missed Loretto's by one today. So our guy Dark missed it by one. But he did ride pretty well, but... Shout out to Dark.
Does that upset you or bring you joy?
No, it upsets me. I mean, I wish he could go. Like, he's losing his job already, so maybe he could gain Loretta's. Okay. I don't know. Like, yeah. No,
you give him a hard time, so I don't know where you come down on this.
No. We give him a hard time, but we like him, and it would have been nice to see him make it. He was way better than he was last year, so he's made a lot of improvements. I think Dark uses Renthal, too, so it all kind of ties into this. Let's talk a little bit about the race. High Point. You said this last week. We love our guy, Stu. He's awesome. Stu's great in the booth. He's a great guy. He even texted me back the other week, so that was pretty good.
Another week. Yep. All right.
Anytime you can get a response is pretty good from Stu, but can we put to bed that Jet's going all out? Can we put that to bed? I mean, the guy stalls his bike, goes back to third, and is like, yeah, I need to win. All right, cool.
Yeah, this was a little bit different than Hangtown. Maybe Hangtown, it really was just hot, and he was just like, yeah, it's hot. I'm just going to chill back here.
It's hot, and then my bike hot, and I don't like my bike right now. Yeah, all of that.
Yes,
right.
Because it was alarming that when he could not open up more than a 2 second gap, but then when he was in third, he's like, oh, give me three quarters of a lap here, maybe about a minute and a half, and I'll pass Hunter.
Right, right.
And then I'll catch Plessinger, and then once he gets Plessinger, then he's back to only a second and a half lead.
Yeah, he's right back to where he normally is. He's cruising 2 seconds in front. It was in the second moto. Like, bad start, and you saw the reins, you saw the way the track was, and it took them, how fast, what's my edges, how fast can I go, how fast can I ride? I imagine they were on a paddle. So, you know, it kind of took them, say, 10 minutes, and he's like, okay. They probably put on the board, need third for the overall, and he was like, okay, cool. No, he didn't know?
No, he didn't. Yeah. I asked him in that interview, I specifically asked him, he's like, he thought that Hunter was winning the race. So he was a bit clueless on that side of it. He was thankful that he didn't pull in for goggles because I asked him, like, hey, where were we at on the goggle thing? And he's just like, I didn't really know what to do. And I thought Hunter was winning. And Cooper Webb and he knows everything all the time. Like, Cooper Webb is like, he's like scorekeeping everything. And I kind of was like, okay, is this where Jet was in this race? And it didn't feel like that. He was just trying to make the best decision at the time and it worked in his favor.
So yeah, not if he thought Hunter was winning, then he didn't think he had the overall or anything, right? But
no way.
Yeah, great ride. And I just again love Stu, but I think Jet showed us what he can do when he needed to get to the front in both motos, even in the second one. He got a third, it was seemed like he was like, okay, I got this figured out. Watch this,
He is further down the recovery road too. So there is maybe a little bit of that in there, versus.
Yeah.
Like the first
for
round,
sure.
Who knows? I don't claim to have the answer. I just know he's going to be better now than he was at the first round just because of time, motos and all that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Hunter,
it was alarming,
Hunter,
though. More the Hunter pass in the first moto because he got the Plessinger and then took some bad lines and lost a little ground. But the Hunter thing was like, again, I don't even know if it took a lap.
So we're going to have Hunter on the Pulp Show tomorrow, which I'm going to ask him. Now, he did close the gap to Eli. He got it down to 1.8, and you guys weren't really showing him on TV. So I don't know if he said, the lap times varied wildly because of lines and because of the ways the things you would try one lap versus another lap. Also trying to keep your goggles clean. So it could have just been one of those lappers situation. But Hunter was closing on Eli, which would have given him the overall. And then next thing you know, it was back to 3 seconds. So I don't know, JT, did Hunter say anything about like what happened?
He did not, but I kind of got the gist that it was just the yo-yoing of mistakes and lappers. Mm-hmm. And get a good lap in versus a bad lap and getting splashed or not. But Hunter did not give me the impression that like I was going to win this thing. Whether he thought that or not, he didn't go down that path. To me, anyway. So maybe.
Well, in the press conference, though, he did say he was bummed when the red flag came out because he was still trying to come up with a plan. Kind of relying on goggles. He was kind of conserving his goggles a little bit. Like, I'll probably need to pull them. How late do I need to go? You know, he could probably ride a lap or two that way. And he was a little mad when the red flag came out because he said he was trying to hatch a plan of like, maybe Eli will lose his goggles. Maybe he'll mess up. Maybe lap riders will get it. And if I can get close, maybe I got one more shot before I got to toss the ditch the goggles. And then the red flag comes out and he's like, ah.
Hey, kudos though to Tomac and Kane or whoever on Tomac's team, maybe even him specifically, for deciding to go roll-offs at the last second. That was a really, really smart move. Because, like, I was thinking about it this morning. Like, I was a guy that used roll-offs a lot, but I also was in the era before laminates. Like, I was in both, but early days I ran roll-offs all the time because I was like, what's the real downside? I can't really see one. And the upside is, like, even if it does rain, I'm dialed. Tomac was like, well, screw it. If it does rain, I'll be ready. And if it doesn't, so what? And it really seemed like it paid dividends when you watched the other problems that guys were having.
Yeah, it used to be tough with rain for laminates, but now these goggle companies have these sweet little rims around the outer lenses and the laminates fit inside so the water doesn't get in between. And so a lot of guys now with these new systems of the ridges around the edges of the frames like laminates better for more vision, but the roll-offs are really wide now too. They're wider than JT's days, you know, the film is.
But still you run out, you know, even if you're protected from water seepage, you still run out, which is always, I was like, why even mess with it? Like some guys just hate roll-offs, but I still go back to, if you just use roll-offs a little bit and get used to it, it's fine. I had never had an issue seeing because my roll-off film, ever.
Yeah, the most you can put on laminates is 28, and that's pretty thick.
It's brutal.
So most guys go 24, they pull a few off, and they run 24. That's still not good. The roll-offs, you get 74 pulls or something, you know? Like, it's way better.
It's just a numbers game. It's a numbers game.
And kudos to KTM for that goggle stuff for AP. That was better than I've seen Stu Baylor do. Like, Stu posts some videos on his Instagram, and it looks like two monkeys effing a football for these dudes.
Yeah, good job.
But that
good job Weege calling that out, too, on the broadcast, because that was really effective. Like, I don't know
they if they nailed it.
All in the race. Like, I have no idea.
No, it didn't. It did.
But that was really effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah, and then Jet really did it because we saw Jet twice, I think, go to pull tear off, realize he didn't have them. And we thought he was going to ditch the goggles or stop. But he managed to wipe them enough, and that's not going to last very long either. But lo and behold, he gets to J-Coop and Plessinger, and they didn't have goggles. And, I mean, you could tell Plessinger could barely ride at that point. Great mud rider, but at that point, he's riding with that goggles.
If the red flag hadn't come out, AP would have got J-Coop, and it would have been because of the goggle stop if the red flag hadn't come out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know that, obviously. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you guys think...
I think he kind of won it by keeping... Yeah. He got, whatever, two more laps in before he had to ditch the goggles and then J-Coop and AP. That was definitely a contributor.
Do you guys think that Sexton's Fox Raceway incident was in Jet's mind anywhere? Like, because I know what that's like. And if you can't see, your immediate thought is to pull him. But I just wonder, pulling him is now bad, right? And it's so much of that in your mind and that type of race is instinct. And if that's the thought of like, can't pull him, things go really bad when I pull him. I just wonder if that was in his brain somewhere.
I would think it would be for all these guys now. And Hunter said that too. He's like, even though I was mad the red flag came out and I was trying to hatch a plan of like, maybe I can do one awesome lap without goggles. He did add, but then again, if you get roosted by a 450 without goggles, that's not good either. So
did you guys see how bad, like AP, man, he pulls in, he gets goggles, he gives up all this time. Then he gets splashed like 10 times the first lap he's trying to get Jake.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, you're like right back to where you were, man. Your vision sucks again because you couldn't get past Jake Coop. Like, you did all this work And now your goggles are probably ruined again because, like, you just have to strike when you get there. And you could just see him just getting blasted by water trying to get around them.
Would have been a great time to start talking about 25 years ago and KTM and all of that during all of this sort of stuff. But that's just me.
He didn't even win. I don't know. I just don't.
I didn't want you to just because Steve kept texting you to.
I was busy, man. Too busy to look at my phone. It's too bad.
How many second overalls does Hunter have?
Did anybody?
Anybody keep track of this?
Every race last year?
He's only raced like 15 races, so it can't be that many.
Also, yes, Hunter, you know, too bad the red flag came out, but trying to get Eli Tomac late in a moto, hatching a plan. I mean, hey, we all got plans, but Eli Tomac late in a moto.
Yeah. Look, it's he knows one thing's for sure. When the red flag comes out, he's definitely not going to win. So you might as well roll the dice on 7 minutes and two laps that maybe something happens. And I think half of his plan was maybe Eli'll just get stuck, or maybe he'll just wash out, or maybe he'll ditch his goggles and he won't be able to ride. I don't know if it was necessarily like I'm going to straight up pass him, but you know, five more laps in a rainy race, maybe luck.
Listen, Tomac, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just saying, if anybody, we have to give anybody benefit of the doubt for scheming a plan or being methodical or gaming something out, it has to be Hunter. Like that's him all the time in every scenario. So yeah. I'll give him a little bit in that arena.
By the way, even with the weather, and I've been pointing this out weeks now, even with this weather, our top five was our top five again. These five guys. Yes. You know, not even weather can stop him, right? Yeah. Tomac's first moto, he was a bad start, took a while to get going, and then put in heaters, but then, like, couldn't get by those guys. Like, just got up there and stalled. It's just, other people are higher on Tomac than I am as far as bringing this thing home, but it's almost like Weege, he can bring it here and there, and not always. It was a bizarre moto.
I'm not going there with Tomac.
I know you are. I know. But that's why I brought it up, because you said this last week. So that's exactly why I'm bringing it up again.
I'm out.
But, dude, he's doing 204s. He's smashing guys.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, it's just a matter of time. And then he just can't get by.
I asked him. He said he got to J. Coop. He didn't pass him immediately. He got stuck in his pace, and it ruined his race.
See, I'm good with the Tomac thing as far as like the can't bring it every time. Like I'm not really there because we've seen like the intensity at times in each time. So it's not like he just is way off in any of these motos. The problem is that Jet is a little bit different than everybody else he's had to go up against. The only guy I would say that he's really had to face that was like there every single time, no matter what, would have been like Dungy. But Dungy didn't have this upper end like ceiling at this point where Jet did. Maybe Dungy did in like 2012 or 2014, but not 2017, right? Like he was in the latter half of his effectiveness. I think Tomac's been fine, and if you took Jet out of the equation, we wouldn't really be worried about it because we've seen enough to know that he's there. He'd be second points, like nobody'd be worried. It's just that Jet doesn't give you any room for error. Like he just sucks the air out of the room when it comes to like any opportunity at all. So for Tomac, he pretty much has to be perfect, right? Because he has this great day. He wins a second moto. You know, outside of the lightning and everything, we would have been talking about how great that second moto was. And then you look up and he still lost 3 points and he's down 28 on the series. Like it's still trending the wrong way. We had to stay at Hangtown. Like, and we're just continually working our way the wrong direction for Tomac amidst great rides. It's a really tough thing, I think, for Tomac to work through here.
Yeah, this but is that's just Jet. Like, there are three first motos now. Pala fourth in Moto 1, the Moto 1 at High Point, and he couldn't get J. Coop this weekend. He couldn't get Hunter last weekend. That's the problem. You know, he can't get three guys, four guys, not just Jet.
Well,
I would ask you guys this. Maybe 22 was different. Maybe. I'd have to go look at the results. But was there ever a year where Tomac was just like 1-1, 1-1, 2-1, 1-2? Like, he's always kind of been like a 1-4, 3-1. Like, it wasn't, from what I remember, just ever in complete domination every round all the way through. Like, he was always a little bit nervous, even in his championship years, from what I remember.
This is, to me, just a symbol of being older. Tomac 2-3 years ago does not set three fast laps in a row and catch and doesn't just go right by those guys. The old Tomac 2-3 years ago, he gets third in that moto. You know, he gets a terrible start, then catches fire and gets to third. Gets AP, gets Justin Cooper, and gets third, and then goes 3-1 on the day. That's what he used to do. And this one, I mean, I totally get it. We each got it at somebody else's pace, didn't get him right away. Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you just, the old Tomac just goes right on by. See ya.
At times.
You know, I got
not
a bad
always,
start.
Not
but I mean, I don't say right on by to the lead. I just mean right on by to third. And then when you look back, you're like, well, his 12th place start did him in. He came back to third. You know, but
I can just, I understand what you're saying. And I'm not saying that it's incorrect. I've seen so many rides from Tomac that were kind of shoulder shrugged that I'm not 100% convinced that this is any different. Like, 2022 was the only year where I just really saw him kind of have everything. Like, he just, even then, it was down to the final moto to beat Sexton for the championship. It wasn't like he was running away with anything. I just, like, 2020, wild variants all over the place, right? Like, he's just kind of been that guy where the motos that he's the best guy in the world, it's so damn obvious that he is. Like, you wonder how he can not be all the other times. And then some of the motos, you're just like, yeah, it was okay. You know, it's not great, not awful. I don't know. He's just been a very kind of curious rides during the season type guy, no matter what. Whether it's the 11th, I'm not saying it's going to be an 11th in a moto. I'm just saying it hasn't always been he's going to first no matter what, like a Carmichael, like some of these guys.
Yeah. Just because of his starts, he just never crushed these guys like Dunger RC did all those years. But right now, like, to me, he's second in points and good job for sure. He's got two moto wins, right? Which is more than anybody other than Jet Lawrence. But like, really, flip a coin between these other four guys right now. I don't see a lot separation depending on how things are going. They're all really good and really the same guys, depending on start, depending on track, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which is awesome to watch, but I wouldn't put Tomac ahead of any of those other three
you
guys.
You wouldn't put
right
Tomac
now
ahead of anybody else? I would.
No,
I
mean,
he's won two
I'd
motos.
Flip a coin.
He's won two motos out of – nobody else has won a moto.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just flip a coin.
That doesn't
I think
matter for you?
Yeah, no, not really.
Really? Wow, okay. I mean, I don't know how you can get there. Like, he's had crash in Hangtown. Obviously, that set him back. Like, he probably gets up there somewhere in that moto. First moto wasn't great this weekend. But, like, the motos that he's been up front, he's given Jet everything Jet wanted. And then he's won two of them. Like, I don't know how that doesn't separate him from everybody else. As far as, like, what he's capable of. Like, I'll take the other side of that argument.
Justin Cooper, top qualifier again, two in a row, fifth overall on the day for Cooper, 4-5. And then now we get into the other group, which is flip a coin, right? RJ and Coop and Savachi. Savachi rode really well, quietly, 8-6 for Joey. Good job, sixth overall. Anderson, 7-7, back from a crappy Lakewood. So good job to Jason Anderson. Coop crashed in the first turn, second moto, looked like he came from dead last, rode really well in the mud to get 11th. But then what happened first moto? Like, he got up, he was moving forward, he got to sixth, and then I maybe wasn't paying attention or was watching the battle on the TV, and then he was ninth. Like, he kind of dropped back, which is odd for Coop. Like, he was on it.
Yeah, I only see what you see, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yep.
RJ, 6-8. Oh, Joey goes 8-6 for 6, and RJ goes 6-8 for 8. Tough blow. Anderson splits him in the middle.
I talked to RJ. He's kind of in the same situation he was at the beginning of Supercross, where he had to run his bike really soft at the first couple rounds because his wrist was in no condition. And as the wrist is getting better, he can start running a more normal setup. So he's trending the right way with the wrist, and then that leads to bike changes. So he's feeling better. At least the results are kind of similar. He's probably been you might be able to argue that he's the next, is he the sixth place guy over that five pack? That's way out front.
He's
I would put him there, I think. Right.
Yeah.
I would put him there.
Yeah.
Coop, maybe, yeah, maybe RJ and Coop neck and neck. RJ gets a slight nod.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's the next group of guys.
He looks good, though. I'm really impressed. When we see him ride, it looks good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, he has been a surprise, for sure. With what he went through with his wrist, everything else, he's definitely riding
and also the
better than I thought.
Part, right? Like, no crashes, no, like, that's a part of the equation.
Cody Shock, ninth overall. Good job, Cody Shock. Yeah, he's been solid every week, beating some factory riders. And Jorge Prado, fast qualifier.
Is that part of the show?
Fast qualifier.
I was genuinely angry at the fast qualifier thing. I was genuinely angry. Yes,
you were.
I was.
Well, just be angry at the AMA. Don't be angry at the people that reported it.
I was angry at everybody. For one, yes, I was angry at collectively our sport for not getting this right. You know, and I'm not pointing fingers. I was just upset that we don't, because it was a mess. Like, timing loops are off, sectors are off, times are off.
Yeah.
Like, it was chaos. Then I was also angry at people reporting this at the track. I'm like, God, so let me get this straight. Everybody thinks that he is 3 seconds better than Jet and 4 seconds better than Tomac in this session. That's what we think. Out of nowhere, the guy's best finish was, Moto's been fifth. He's been running around seventh. And somehow, he just threw in a heater that is 3 seconds better than the points leader and 4 seconds better than the winningest guy in the class. That's what
I thought it was 1.8. I think it was 1.8.
No, absolutely not. Jet was 202. Jorge Prado was 159. Eli Tomac was 203. I looked
was
at
Jet
1,200
in second?
Times. No,
was
Justin
Jet
Cooper
second?
Justin Cooper had a 201.
Okay,
yeah,
so just
it was a little. It was around 2 seconds faster than the fastest, which is Jay Coop. 201 to 159.
Whatever. Like, nobody cares if I'm. I was genuinely annoyed. I'm like, come on, guys, we're better than this. You should know that's not a legit time for one. Like,
so that's
look at the sector
three.
Times. Do that. How about that?
He was second off the start in Moto One. Screwed up the second corner. Three guys went right by him. Are we over the fact that he needs more motor? That's three starts in a row that have been five-ish, top five-ish, up a hill at elevation.
Listen,
I mean,
I cannot answer whether he needs more motor. He's the one that said in a public interview that they need more power. So you should ask him that.
I don't know, man. This is officially I don't know, man, status. I feel like with that start in the first moto, I'm like, oh, he's trying. This is not the we're not ready to whole shot that we heard from Oscar, the crew chief, at round one. I'm like, his best asset is his starts and then his ability to hold dudes up. I mean, that's what he does. He does well from the front. I'm not even saying it's dirty. Some other guys that raced him will say that, but I'm not throwing stones here. I'm just saying he gets his best result when he starts up front. And I'm like, oh, he's trying to do that. And then it still ended up being terrible.
I'll tell you this. We're eight motos deep, and he doesn't have a whole show yet. I would bet you all the money in the world that's never happened before in his life.
Yeah.
I would bet you whatever you want to bet that has never happened before in his entire life.
Just get that bike going.
Is him trying to, like, I am going to try to do my old thing. I'm going to try to lead this race from the front. That's what I'm going to try to do. I'm not hiding in the back. I'm not ready. I'm not, hey, don't look over here. I'm really going to try. And then I looked at the end of the moto. I'm like, still a bad result.
Steve, do you think that he forgot how to get good starts?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know. I think it's a guy coming off a serious injury and not happy with the bike.
A serious injury affected his starting prowess.
Well, confidence is a big part of starts. It always has been. And, like, I mean, obviously when you know you don't have it and you're going to get blown by, I mean, he's got that one. This start at High Point was
like
the
third.
Best start he's had.
He started like third or fourth. You think the difference between him trying to get third or fourth versus a whole shot is confidence?
No, I just confidence in general affects your starts to where you are, how you feel, where you're going to be.
I will stand behind the fact that he's never, ever, ever gone this long in his career without getting a whole shot. And starts were better, but he's still like, I don't really need more evidence than that. Like, this is the longest he's ever gone without a whole shot. And yeah, I mean, he really hasn't been that close to a whole shot.
Benoit Pacharel got him late in the first moto I don't think Weege, you talked to Patrick.
We interviewed Patrick on our Twisted Tea Best Post Show, and I said, "How many times have you beaten Prado before?" And he said, "On a 450, never until today." said MX2 days, they would battle. Patrick was really good in MX2, and Prado was super young at that time, so maybe they were equals then. But he's like, "On a 450, never." Now, I thought I saw somewhere on Twitter that in one of the motos, Prado had a dented header pipe. I thought it was in a group chat that you saw, Steve. You didn't see it, so I don't know where I saw this. Some rando Twitter account had a picture of his header pipe. I don't know which moto it was. Moto 2 was even worse, so maybe it was that one.
Yeah, but Moto 2, he went way back, so that makes sense, Weege, because he was higher.
Yeah, getting 23rd is not what we're talking about. That's what he got in the moto. I'm sure there was a problem. We know he just didn't ride himself to 23rd. It's the seventh every moto battling Cooper Webb, who we didn't even know if was going to be racing this summer. That's enough for us to be head scratching. Him getting passed late in motos by Jason Anderson, like, all of that is plenty.
I'll tell you what's even worse. The reason I bring up Patrick and ask Patrick is now we're even going with same. So, like, I'm at dinner with the other Racer X crew on Saturday, and they're like, "Is it just that everything's so different? The tracks, the weather, the schedule?" And I'm like, "But there's other guys who raced GPs last year who are basically at the same level. It's not like Tom Vial was just getting his doors blown off the first year he was here, and then year two got way better.
Not to mention High Point.
Way more than most people drop off when they move here.
Not to mention High Point is a track that GP riders like and have done well at. It's a natural, off camber. So
I have asked GP guys in recent weeks, "Hey, what's going on?"
Yeah.
And the bewilderment that they are sharing.
Yeah.
Infinitely better than I do, and I'm shocked. And they are just like, they're speechless at what's happening.
I hope they get the bike figured out. I hope they get that thing figured out, man. It'll be much better. I hope.
Hey, one other thing about it being a European style track. Kudos to Tom Vial. Actually, in the press conference, he just says, "Yeah, I don't know why everybody says that. I can't think of one track that I've raced in the GPs that is like High Point.
Really?
It's big. It's open. There's multiple lines. It's wide."
I think
I haven't ever ridden a track in the GPs like this, so I don't know why Roxon said that.
I think Roxon has specifically said it reminds me of a GP track. Like,
oh, okay.
I think Kenny's actually said that.
Steve, what would you say the best pro motocross finish on a Cali has been?
I don't. I mean, if only there was some way to look that up. We can look it up.
Yeah.
I'm sure Anderson has gotten a top. I'm sure Anderson's got a top five, right?
I mean, it's been a fifth for a moto. That's it. Like, you're hammering on the bike. I'm not even talking about the bike, but you're like so hell bent that this bike is awesome.
No, it's not awesome. I would bet any money that the Honda HRC is a better bike, for sure. Benoit Pacheco's bike, probably not better.
Agreed.
Well, Anderson is beating him now, too.
Yeah, Anderson is. You know, Prado could only dream of getting Anderson's results right now. Because even Anderson's put in a few good motos charging, like, looks like the effort is there. So,
I just think that the standard is different when you're as good as him. When you're battling any of these guys that we're talking about, when he's back there with Webb and he's 45 seconds off of the lead, it's over. You're mentally crushed. Where other guys, like JT, I'm sure you've been in the fight for your life, 10th place, and you're fighting for 10th the same way you would if you were leading the moto, right?
It's the same whether you're up front or 10th or 23rd.
Right. I think his standard is so high. He's never been this far off of the lead, probably in his life ever in races. And I think, this is just my theory, once this happens and it unravels and he's like, "I am 4 seconds a lap off," it's just over. Like, the mental, it's just done.
You don't think he can go back to the truck after the timing mistake and really just think about that and think, "Oh, maybe he was fastest"?
He knew he wasn't fastest. He wasn't even on a fast lap.
That was
so pissed about. He wasn't even on a fast lap.
"Yes, I'm fastest." Oh. "No, Jorge, you're not." "Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I got the screenshot."
"No.
I have the screenshot, and here it is." Yeah.
That was Stu's joke. He's like, "If I'm Cali, I'm not printing them out. I'm just saying, yep, that was it."
Yeah, that was it.
Steve, you got it, man.
Steve, do you
The worst part was, I think it was 36th once they took that lap away.
Yeah,
it was.
Like last week, he was not in qualifying spot until late.
This is where my frustration was really boiling over. that somehow we thought he was 2 seconds faster than Elam, 3 seconds faster than Jet, 4 seconds faster than Tomac, and yet he was really 36th. This is where I have a
problem. Yeah, I blame Kellen.
Steve, do you think that what do you think Prado is thinking in this, like in his heart of hearts, like his own personal monologue? Does he think that, like, I'm not riding good, or does he think the bike is holding me back? Like, what do you think he thinks?
Well, he's a rider. No, yeah, he's a rider. So he's a winner. He's a rider. And I was on Team Yamaha for 3 years with a gentleman from Australia. So you just tell yourself, it ain't me. It ain't me. It's like Shaggy. But wasn't me.
Okay, why I'm asking you this, I don't know. Maybe I'm more of a realist than other people are, but I've been on really good bikes and ridden really poorly. And I'm like, man, I'm not riding very well right now. But I've been on really pieces of crap bikes and been like, there's nothing. I don't care how well I think I'm going to ride today. This bike is garbage. I have no chance before I even step on the plane. So I've been in both spots, and I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's just, there's no way he's going to accept any personal accountability for any of this. Maybe. I'm just wondering, and we're not going to know, it's hypothetical, where he's at. Is it like, because I don't know. I look at it like, I know when I'm riding good and riding poorly, and I know typically what the hurdles are. You know, I can talk about them transparently. I think he has, my personal opinion is, he doesn't believe they're anywhere close to where they need to be as far as the motorcycle goes. Whether that's right or wrong is not.
Yeah, no, I just said it. He's going to tell people and think to himself it's the motorcycle, because riders have to do that. But, I mean, you know the same people I know at Kawasaki, and these are not dumb people.
In that regard, I'm not saying that they're not doing a good job or anything, but, like, it goes back to the same thing where they were incredibly smart people at Honda in 2009, because they were also there in 2008 when they had the best bike, and they went to the worst bike. It was the same people. But if the engineering behind something is not amazing, you're stuck behind the eight ball against
that same bike, though, in 2009 went 1-1 at Lakewood with Tedesco. Like, it proved to be capable of winning at 450 National.
Did you ever ask Ivan about that bike?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah,
please,
for sure.
Please
but,
do.
But I've also asked Andrew Short. He liked it. So,
yeah,
again,
that bike was a pile of shit. And I still have a bone to pick with Andrew, because he talked me into riding it. And I still to this day ask him, what the hell? He's like, yeah, it was pretty good in Supercross. You're probably riding motocross. I'm like, you suck, because I could have ridden a Suzuki that year.
I don't want to talk about Jorge Prado anymore.
Prado Pod.
It's interesting.
Prado Pod. I was never as high as him as you guys. By the way, JT all of a sudden wants to get into hypotheticals on bike and what he's thinking, but won't do the blame pie last week. Just won't do it. Just refuses to do the blame pie. But now we're getting deep into hypotheticals. Okay. All right. Anyways.
Yeah. No, that's just because I know, like, you want to lay claim for the rest of all time on these concepts. Like, I own this. This is mine forever.
No, it's just interesting for the listener and viewer to hear what you think about bike versus rider. That's all. It's just interesting. If I called it the JT pie, would it be better?
No, it's just you laying claim to things forever.
It's right. I never thought it would go that well with Jorge, but I also never ever thought it would go this bad. That's for sure. If you had told me, hey man, he's going to be like at the end of the front group, I'd be like, yep, that one I get. End of the front group. Got it. But
yeah,
I'd
say worst case scenario, and this is definitely the Prado pod at this point. Worst case scenario is he's in the RJ area where we're saying, is he the sixth best, but not there with those five? That's like the worst case scenario.
Yep. Yeah. That's worst case. Right. And he
worst
is.
Worst case scenario that he's with RJ and these other five guys are beating him consistently every week. That's worst case scenario. And
he's in the Pacharel group. He's in the coolest group. He's.
Yeah. All right, we got to move on. This is the Prado pod.
I don't even know if an injury would be. An injury would probably be better than this. Like a slight injury where he can't race. I don't want him to hurt himself.
Banged
this
up.
This is as bad. I think this is as bad as it can get. Honestly, I do. Because
we need him banged up.
Yeah. Everybody is losing. Jorge is losing. Everybody's like, what are you doing? Everybody's looking at Cali going, what are you doing? Like, if everybody is losing in this scenario.
Can you imagine?
GP, everybody's looking at MXGP and goes, those guys must be really slow. Like, there's
It's clear now. It's clear now Canada has passed the MXGP series as far as worldwide toughness. Well, it's clear. Can you imagine the money that Pecherelle is getting paid to get 11th and Prado's getting paid to get 12th? What's the difference there? A million?
Prado pod.
Oh, more. Way more.
Yeah. Dude.
Okay.
You might need to be banged up.
Prado is a $3+ million salary guy.
Benoit Pacharel 11th, Colt Nichols 12th. Shout out Mitchell Harrison 1 week after I picked him in fantasy, and he just couldn't end up really doing anything. The week I couldn't pick him, he goes 14-14, Mitchell Harrison. Thanks, Mitchell. Super awesome. Really appreciate that. I have a bone to pick with the TV crew. Well, I don't know if this is the TV crew yet or not. Okay. Couple things. One, there were some graphics on the screen about Seth Hammaker's 450 motocross career. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. I saw the tweet from somebody.
Okay. Yep.
I didn't see that, but.
Yeah. Okay. Great work. Second one. Why is Hari Kulis getting privateer awards when our guy, Guillaume, beats him?
It's not the best finisher.
It's because they don't give it consecutive weeks, and wow. Guillaume already got it.
Wow.
You already knew this, man. You literally already knew this.
Everyone gets a trophy.
You knew this already. Did you ask me a question?
No, I don't think I did. I don't think I knew this for
100%
sure.
100% you knew. Because you literally tweeted, you answered the tweet to it. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, I answered the tweet like I was just thinking like maybe, yeah, everybody gets a trophy. But now I didn't get the official word. But you guys are telling me that you can't win it 2 weeks in a row.
They've been doing this for like 8 years this way. Yeah.
So it's just a random privateer or it's just the second best guy if the first
best guy.
Yeah,
I think generally.
Guy.
Because, I mean, I guess they're trying to avoid... Hey, in most years, hey, Freddie Norin, congrats. You got recognized 9 times in 11 weeks. It's not really what FMF is trying to do.
And we know there's a strong Hari Kulis bend in the TV truck.
That is picked by MX Sports, not the TV crew.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Not picked by TV. Yeah.
Well,
By the way, I know you said graphics. They never get screwed up in any other sport. Right? Only here. Only our TV crew messes up, right?
I believe so.
Yes. I was watching a Yankees game the other day where they said, here's the tale of the tape for Aaron Judge. Said he was the 2016 American League Rookie of the Year. And then social media went nuts and said, oh my God, ESPN, he was the 2017 Rookie of the Year. You put the wrong year on the graphic. ESPN.
Okay.
So it does.
All right.
Sometimes it's literally as simple as someone typed in the wrong button.
But Seth Hammaker 450 motocross results when he's never completed.
Yeah, I don't understand. Understand the context when that got. Okay. I didn't see that.
Okay,
you could put those in the complaint box somewhere. Probably better serve.
Harrison 13th, Guillaume 14th, Hardog came back. I'm in a group text with a bunch of privateers, and Hardog wrote in. I think after the first moto, not having a great time. But he actually did pretty well.
I thought after Hangtown he was dead.
Okay, well, yeah.
Like his mechanic was making it sound so horrifically dramatic for Grant Harlan, who that's Hard Dog, by the way. I didn't expect him to be back 2 weeks later. So I was actually pumped to see him.
I guarantee you, after the crash at Hangtown, he went back to Maui, surfed a little bit, laid in the healing oceans, mm-hmm. and got better. But probably did some sort of Hawaiian
holistic things,
holistic pig sacrifice, and then
I don't think those two things go. They don't go together. I don't think
it's Hawaii, bro.
So good job, Grant Harlan, though, coming back. I just got a word that Prado headpipe. That person that would know didn't hear anything about a Prado headpipe.
Really?
Yeah, for the second moto.
I mean,
back to the Prado pod. Welcome everybody to the Prado pod.
It honestly doesn't matter. Like the 23rd, it was raining. Who knows? Who God knows what happened. That's not even what we're really talking about. It's everything else.
I just want to check here real quick since we are the Fly Racing Racer X Prado Pod. 10th in points. Actually, not that bad. Thought it would be worse. Okay.
It's been like
shout out.
The whole time.
Shout out Coolis and Carlin. Good job. Freddie Norin was back. Freddie Norin's team manager, Stone Cold's friend, told me, do not pick Freddie for fantasy. Do not pick him. He's been sick. It's been struggle. We've seen Freddie. He's nowhere near his 2003 and 2004 form that he showed all those years ago.
Okay.
but Freddie had his best race of the year. So there's life in Freddie. He's
my
alive.
My fantasy team would agree with Jericho.
Yeah.
Because I picked him and it's not going well.
Bryson Gardner on the beta. We know the beta's off-road. Well, he got 15th in the muddy second moto. Probably had a headlight and hand guards on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know about Benny. Does anybody know about Benny?
I saw Benny leaving the pits. It might have been the most depressed face I've ever seen on a human. He had two gear bags. He's dragging them over those gigantic rocks in the pits at High Point.
Yep.
And they're parked all the way in the end, so he's got a long walk with these two giant gear bags. They were only supposed to race these three nationals. Was for SMX points, I think, right? He barely got any points at all.
He was good last week.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end, they're going to show up for three nationals, and he's going to have two good motos. It's not going to be enough.
Yeah, he's going to have six motos with 14 points.
Yeah,
that's not good.
You know,
he could get borderline 14 points in a moto or close.
Right.
So I tried to cheer him up. I'm like, hey, why the grumpy face? But it was way beyond any level of joking.
I tried to cheer him up. Hey, you know, turn that frown upside down.
Did
you tell
him
like your best joke?
I mean, Steve, you usually go at him with that Freckle is a better rider. He's a B rider on the team and he'll laugh. But this was beyond. There was no amount of joking in this thing that was going to lighten the mood as he dragged these two gear bags out.
Grab his ear and have a quarter, you know, like that. Do something like that.
Yeah,
maybe do a little dance, Weege.
Bro, it was bad.
Brad West got penalized 10 spots.
Benny's bike shut off. I heard awesome. Benny's bike shut off between the parade lap and the start. Wow. It was like, you got like a 3-minute window, and it shut down. And then our guy Mitch Kendra said, yeah, I saw them have the seat off, I think, as the race was starting.
Well, the good thing about that seat is you just pop it off. You don't need a screw. You don't even need a T-handle. You just push a button.
That's true. So I think it was a bunch of crashes in one moto and a bike problem in another.
And then I guess the beta went back to the GNCC roots and thought it was a dead engine start. It just automatically did it.
Work for Gardner.
Shout out Brad West for 10 spot penalty for cutting the first turn or something. How bad does it got to be for 10 spots?
Is that a record?
Right. Just even before the moto's over, AMA's like, yeah, bro, that's 10 spots. That's just.
It's got to be an all-time record.
Jeremy Hand.
The next step from there was deporting him.
Pretty much. All right. Cade came back. DNF second moto. I want to thank Derek Drake for submarining my fantasy team. He's fast, but I don't know, man. All right. And Malcolm Stewart. Ouch. Dude. Oh. Ouch. Mookie.
Dude,
poor Mookie.
Brutal.
It was brutal. Yeah. Jeez. James kept talking about Mike Tyson. Yeah, he is dating himself right there, James, by saying Tyson. It's been a long time since Tyson was relevant. Yeah.
He was just fighting Jake Paul last year.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Okay. All right. That's 450 class. Anything else? 450 class? Fly
the
racing?
Sport of boxing that hasn't had a mainstream reference athlete since 1989. Poor boxing.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a good point. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. Use the code PULPMX to save. Same gear Cooper Webb running and more. And use the code PULPMX when you check out. Thank you to Fly. Maxxis Tires as well. Jeremy McGrath, he won High Point back in the day, and he developed these new Maxxis tires that Cade Clayson, Jack Chambers used. Freddie Norin used. I guess Freddie was the top Maxxis guy. Please check out MaxxisTires.com for more information. Great mountain bike tires as well. They rule in the mountain bike world. They also side-by-side. McGrath races side-by-sides now. Tough to do a knack-knack in one, but he does race side-by-sides and uses Maxxis tires for that as well. Stone Cold, also a Maxxis athlete, because Stone Cold says so. And thank you to those guys, Renthal as well. Motorsport.com, the ultimate ride sweepstakes is on now. They're giving away a YZ450 to the grand prize winner. They've got Fly Racing weekly packages, Renthal weekly packages. It's free to enter. Go to motorsport.com. Anything you need for motorsport, check it out, man. And OEM and aftermarket parts. So Great prices, great bunch of guys down there. Thank you to motorsport.com. All right, 250s. So Deegs showed Hymus what was up. He didn't get both hole shots like Hymus, but qualified quickest, did lead every lap of both motos. And then thanks to my guy MX Reference, I put this on Twitter this morning, he has the third biggest lead after four motos since 1980 in that class. Four races, sorry, eight motos. The only ones with bigger leads were the guys that went perfect, Stu and Mark Barnett. And other than that, if you haven't gone perfect, Deegs has the biggest gap after four races. So impressive. Good job, Deegs.
Yeah, wow. this was what you would want to do after last weekend. You know, we'll get to Hymus and what went on there, but take that out of the equation. If you were looking for, like, hey, you need to reestablish yourself a little bit, this was all of that and more.
Yeah, more than a little bit, right? He rode great. Yep. Honestly, you guys barely showed him because, yeah, he was just cruising and didn't look that hard. Last year was at High Point. Yeah, because I was in Italy. So I watched it in Italy. This was the race where he was like 30-something to first, right?
Yeah, it was like mid-20s, something like that.
Mid-20s? Yes. Okay, yeah. An awesome ride.
Did he get?
Yeah.
He didn't get Master Pool, though, I don't. Thing.
Oh, he didn't?
Or was that the first moto?
He got him in the first moto. He didn't get him in the second moto.
Got
to him in the second moto.
Yeah, he passed 800 guys and rode amazing at High Point last year. Right. And in this year, he got the starts. And I think he's going to win this thing. You guys?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
30.
Okay.
Let's get next bets on the phone.
He has a huge lead. Yeah. He has like a 40-point lead.
Yeah. Like I said, the only guys higher. Now, I'm sure Glover, who was raced this class before 1980 and won this championship, Brock is probably listening. Brock's probably got his points gap for one of those mid-70s to late-70s years. And we're sorry, Brock. But since 1980, Barnett and Stu, only ones that have bigger points leads. So who do you guys think was next after Deegs? Did you see that list, JT, or Weege?
I saw you tweet it, but I did not look at it, no.
The fourth biggest lead was Larocco in 92.
No.
When he blew it. Yes.
Oh. And he didn't win.
He didn't win. Yeah.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
I mean, that was a carb falling off and a shifter bending. Yeah, he had a lot of problems. But anyways.
Yeah, I think he had three motos in a row at mechanicals, right?
Yep. Let's go to Hymus because obviously coming off Lakewood, that was a very, very revealing camera shot at the end. We think he's got a torn ACL. Lars kind of mentioned that. He's coming off an ACL this year.
Now, Lars, in his interview, said, as usual, they kind of wrenched around on his knee at Alpine Stars and said it seemed like the ACL's intact. But Lars heard that earlier this year with Jet.
Yeah.
And credit to Doc Bodner saying a lot of times at the track, you know, 20 minutes after the injury, it's not really accurate. Your leg is holding itself together in ways that it's not, you know, two days later. So,
But you can see the emotion on Hymus's face. Last lap of the second moto, he's cruising in second. You guys didn't see it, but JT, did you hear? Did he put his foot down or did he crash?
He put his foot down, dragged it, and caught a rock.
Okay, yeah.
It was in the downhill rollers, I heard.
I don't know where it was.
Yeah, that's what our guy Tommy Tender said. It was in the rollers. Maybe coming down.
So, like, where I come down on this, I've had this injury twice. And, you know, we kind of heard the same thing as you guys mentioned with Jeff. Like, maybe it's not as bad as we think. I don't know, man. Like, the initial reaction usually tells the tale with riders.
And he's torn ACLs before. Yes.
Your body and your mind, all the instinctual reaction of that is usually all you need to know. If it's like some sort of like minor meniscal tear or something like that, you just don't get the same sort of gut reaction emotionally, physically. Like, so I hate it for him, but I don't expect there to be great news on this.
No, like he's done it before, right? So he knows. And bummer. So he rode great in the first moto. He came from whatever, way back to fifth. No, wait, fourth, fifth. Yeah, fifth. Second moto, obviously would have gone 5-2 on the day. So we're waiting to see, but it doesn't look good for Hymus. Bummer deal. Now, this is not on the knee that he repaired.
This is his good one. He has never injured
the good
this
one, quote unquote. Right.
Yeah. Well, he's never heard it. So
yeah. Good. Bummer. Bummer for Chance Hymus for sure. Bummer. Tom Vielle, 4-2 on the day. He's been quiet. He's been really quiet. Speaking of MX Reference, I actually got him to pull some stats on Vial's 3 years of outdoors. Well, 2.5 now, 2 5/8, I guess. And he was better last year than his first year. I just anecdotally, don't you guys think his first year was better than his second year?
I mean, he didn't win until Spring Creek that first year.
Last year.
No, Southwick.
Southwick. He won Southwick. Yeah.
No, last
Southwick.
Year was better.
Okay. So
yeah,
last
year was better. Yeah. That's what I'm
okay.
I'm
so I thought first year was better. And no, the stats show the second year was better.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was better last year.
It's kind of forgotten. He hurt his wrist at Thunder Valley the first year. And then I think did he race High Point or he was hurt at High Point? He didn't finish Thunder Valley. Then he won Southwick and JT. He was thinking that I got this now.
He even said it's on. He's like, it's on.
Yeah.
Like,
but then he didn't got it.
No.
False. Kitchen needs better starts. Rode really well. Rode great.
He was actually bummed on his second moto.
Yeah.
He said he sucked.
Sorry, what?
He says, where I think Weege is going, that it's more his first few laps because the start was actually pretty good and he's just the intensity's not there early.
Actually, that goes back to Tomac too. Tomac was actually it was a decent start in the first moto. His opening laps killed him. I meant to bring that up. His opening lap or two. If you actually watch it, he was okay off the start. But yes,
Kitchen was not happy with his second moto. He thought he rode bad all around because I think he got passed by Marchbanks and Moda.
Yep, he did. Yeah. Between
JT, out of all the tracks on the Nationals, does High Point present the most opportunity to make passes, pass and fail in those first couple corners all the way to those rollers?
Yeah, I think because the likelihood of mistakes is so high. Guys are all over the place, right? So if you get those, if you get really clean through that, like you accelerate through that second corner really well, get through that, tunnel jump down the rollers, man, you can really make some good work there. Or you can completely blow yourself up there too.
Right. And how many times have we seen a guy in the second turn, the right-hander going uphill, like lose the back end or front end? Yep. And then 12 guys get stacked behind him.
Yeah, falls apart so fast, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lap times were all over the place. When you were watching the ticker on the left, and you were watching the gaps, you were like, holy shit, like, oh, this guy's catching him. Oh, wait, no, he's 6 seconds. Like, it's just High Point, right? And what a day 25 years ago, too. Just kind of same idea. But
really?
Wow. Anyways. Kitchen, Hymus, Marchbanks, Joe Shimoda crashes. Then catches fire. Joe had an up and down day, but he was really fast. He was good. And Marchbanks 7-4.
We know who Joe is. Starts the season strong. Not afraid to hang it out. That's who Joe is. That's what we know. We've always known this.
Yep.
And Marchbanks, yeah. Weege, if you're going to talk about his contract and waiting for, can you at least credit the Pulp MX show? Where you heard this?
Where I heard he had a 1-year deal with Pro Circuit. That was proprietary information
you
of the
said
Pulp
March,
show.
No, you were like, Marchbanks is open to re-sign,
Steve,
we put it on
him for everything, the 25 years ago, the Marchbanks contract, the Prado motorcycle stuff. Like, just make sure every reference, you get that in there somehow.
I did not know that was an exclusive.
Okay.
The Nets were good.
You said on the show, like, Marchbanks has been saying he hopes to get a new deal with Pro Circuit. He's only on a 1 year and he's been riding really well. Like, that was all what we put on Instagram from the Pulp show. Like, Marchbanks saying, like, I hope I go back.
Oh, I didn't say he's been saying. I said he has a 1 year deal. And I just logically came to my own conclusion that he'll probably be looking for a ride.
Maybe it'll be
with Pro Circuit.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Apologies then. To you, Weege.
No, I did not get it. I did not get it from your show. I promise. He has a 1-year deal. We knew this in January.
Seth Hammack. No, I'm not that part. No, I'm not claiming you. Yeah. Yes, I'm not claiming that part from the show. Seth Hammacher, I'm assuming his shoulder just weakened second moto. Like,
yeah.
I'm assuming because he went backwards.
That's the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you believe that was his first podium in a moto outdoors?
Wow, huh?
Yes. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, wait,
you should
what?
Have said Pulp MX show.
100%. No, you shouldn't have. But when you said that, I had the same reaction. Like, wait, what? First podium?
Yeah.
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 Second moto, he got up to fifth. I think he was fifth or sixth before slowly dropping back. But still a good first moto for Seth. Casey Cochran's been quietly really good. He's riding for a ride. We all know that. Casey Cochran's been really good.
We all know that, or is that an exclusive?
Stop it. Stop it. Thrasher, signs of life from Nate Thrasher. Weege, you weren't quite as high on his ride, but to me, like, dude, his best finish was 18th.
I know, but I just know how Star is. I'm sure they're not like, hey, good job. You turned two hole shots into 2/10 or something. Like, I just feel like they'd still not be pumped.
Fair, but he did win a Supercross, so he's good. But, yes.
No, I'm not saying he's going to get cut. We're not having an exclusive that his deal is up here. But I just feel like, you've said it a million times, factory riders, they don't want a hole shot and get passed.
Right.
Right?
See? Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't feel like Thrasher is going to leave the track. Yes, it's way better than any point this year, but I don't feel like he was leaving the track being like, sweet, I went first to 10th two times.
I don't know, man. It's been so bad that I feel like this is a victory. I feel like this is a victory.
Yeah. He played better than it was, man. He's like 20th.
Yeah. The real sign was in the press release. When you get the one sentence quote in the press release, he was a one sentence guy last week. I'm like, oh, it's really bad then.
Yeah.
Like, shout out going to, well, we're going to have to work harder or something was his quote.
Shout out to Nate. Picked him last week in fantasy. Couldn't pick him this week. 100 points, Pulp Mix Fantasy. Shout out, Nate. Jalik Swole?
Unbelievable.
That was great.
That was really good. Like, he comes back from a Achilles, and then he's the top Triumph guy at his first race.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Amazing.
Now, he's good at High Point. He's won there before. We all know that. Got a little lucky, but still won there before. But, yeah, that's a really good job.
Yes.
14-8. And, like, also, too, first race, you would assume second moto would not be as good because you're tired, it's a race, nothing like racing, and then he got better. He got eighth. So, yeah, good
job.
What's
funny is if you listen to our guy, Kellen over there, who's now with Swap Moto Live, he interviewed Swole, and Swole got scared. He like, cased something or something, and then he felt like a big crunching sound in his ankle, and then he was worried he'd hurt it again, and then realized, oh, that's probably scar tissue. This needed to happen, but then he said it was really hurting bad, and then he framed the tunnel jump at the very end.
Was this first moto or second moto? Like, was this just at some point during the day?
I think it was second moto.
Okay.
And then he said, I guess Harup got him on the last lap because he was really afraid that he had re-injured the foot. Point being, it wasn't even a smooth day, and he still did well. He didn't re-injure it, by the way. He's fine. But there were still, like, residual lingering effects, and he was still good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. Good job, Jalik Swole. Nice comeback. Casey Cochran probably been a surprise for you guys in this class? I think so, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Harup, 11th. He was way back in Moto 1. I don't know what happened. Volin took a rock to the face. Had to get stitches, apparently, maybe. Maximus did. Kiefer rode his bike. It's on Racer X with the rear brake on the hand side. So go to watch his video on Racer X.
I don't think we have that video yet.
No, I think he said it was up, didn't he? Well, then you can listen to the Pulp MX Pod Network because it's up there.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. So
exclusive. I don't think I've seen that video in the back yet. So I don't even know. Coming soon.
Masterpool's still throwing up, so we've got a month of throwing up.
He did still this weekend?
Yep.
Oh, God. He told me he had started working with Kitchen's nutritionist, and he thought he had it dialed. I even saw him at the same restaurant. He was at the same restaurant as us Friday at dinner. It seemed like he had it under control. Then I see the 26th in Moto 2, and yeah, I guess not.
I have nothing to offer you on that pool.
Do you? Dude. Are you backing off your title contender?
In our preview shows, I said something like this. I might have even said throwing up or sick or something will happen. And it's happened to an even higher level. I would love to like take the credit for predicting this, but I didn't think it'd be 4 out of 4.
No, no. By the way, Brunt Boots, bruntworkwear.com, code PulpMX to save with Brunt. If you're a working man, hardworking man, check out the Brunt Boots. You know who got his pair of Brunt Boots this weekend? Jelly, Tomax mechanic. And look, he won a moto. So Jelly got Brunt boots, courtesy of me, and then he won a moto. So you wear Brunt boots as a mechanic. Pedro, wears him as well. Forget Pedro's name again. Somebody told me his real name this year. I didn't know it for all these years.
Richard Sterling.
Richard Sterling. Yep.
Pedro.
Pedro.
Brunt Boots,
is there
Brunt
a
Workwear.
More British name? Is there, there could not be a more British name on the planet than Richard Sterling.
Are we sure that his nickname really is Pedro, or did J-Mart mess that up?
Is that a possibility? I mean, a month ago, he called him Fernandez again on the show, Pulp Show.
Dylan Fernandez?
Yes. Brunt Work Boots, please check them out if you can. Use the code PULPMX at Onyx Maps as well, Weech.
Yes, last week I was out in Colorado. There were many trails mapped out via Onyx Maps, but because I did this podcast, we were too late to do anything because I flew all the way to Colorado to do this podcast. So maybe I'll find something to do this week. We had an off week. There are 500,000 miles plus trails mapped out. You can download them so you can have them if you're in the hinterland where you don't have service. There's guides from other people who have used these trails. This is for dirt bikes, side-by-side, jeeps, mountain bikes, hikers, hunters. Not Hunter Lawrence, but people that hunt animals, you name it. Go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Offroad in the App Store.
And Renthal, Maxxis, and of course, Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Really nice looking gear from the folks at Fly Racing. Kinetic mesh is strong. The black and white kinetic mesh. RJ had it on this weekend. I wore it last weekend at the regional. I love that stuff. It's basic, it's stylish, it's clean. It oozes speed, even when I'm wearing it. All right. Mosman, second moto, any idea? 20th? First moto was 8th?
First turn crash, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Jordan Smith, not a great day for Jordan at all. Ryder D, not a great day for Ryder D. Deegan's racing him, right?
I'll save the Ryder D for the very end of this show.
Okay. All right. Dylan Schwartz, Caden Meneer, 2015.
Schwartz had a bike problem second moto.
Oh.
No, first moto. He went 40-12. Faulkner, bad day. Drew Adams broke his finger or knuckle or something. Drew's between him and Chance, there's some dog pound injuries going on with those guys.
He was showing some time too, man. He started well in the first moto. I was really interested to see what he could do with it.
Who's that?
Adam started like fourth in the first moto. And I was like, okay, let's see what he can do. And then he was gone.
Yeah, he crashed 2-3 laps in.
Yep.
Kitchen too. Right around the same time as Kitchen did. Faulkner, yikes. I don't know what happened to the moto, but crashed, I think. But yep.
Yeah.
All right, 250 class. Anything else? Chambers got in the second moto again. We alternate. I can't believe Jack Chambers can't make the motos. But this is happening. This is a real thing.
Yeah, was that Hangtown too?
Lakewood, I think.
Oh, Lakewood. Okay.
No, Hangtown. You're right, Hangtown. Lakewood, he got in. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, Parker Ross. Fedortsov had a bad day. Club MX's Russian kid.
I did hype up Fedortsov. We have not seen it.
No. I was told there was no hype for him. And I'm like, no. There was hype. Stop it, everyone. Daniel Blair is like, no, we're just hoping.
No, it was just Weech hype. It was just Weech hype.
No, it was Kellen hype too.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't hear anything
there's
but
a secret,
the Weech hype.
No, there's a secret cabal of Fedortsov hype people. And they've been exposed.
There is. Yep. It might have been a KGB spy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Okay. Lux Turner, let JT's fantasy team down. Beaumaire, dude. That's 2 weeks in a row. It has not gone well for Julian Beaumaire right now. He's in a deep, dark spot, I'm sure. What week off? Southwind.
I came up to the race. You saw that on Weed Show there, JT. I think he actually took a handlebar to the face when he crashed in that mechanics area just to make things worse.
Oh, man, that was a big one.
Yeah.
There was him and Mookie when bikes attacked.
Yeah.
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 And then we got Southwick.
At Ryder D.
Yeah, well, hold on. We got Southwick. So Prado, GP Sand Guy. Should be no problem.
I mean, he'll be like, it's not a liability, but I don't think you can say that Prado is a quote unquote sand guy. He's not like he wasn't born in the Netherlands and rode sand, you know, like he moved to Belgium when he was 12. Like he's ridden sand plenty. But I don't think it's like a strength versus like any other track. So I want to make that clear on the front end. he's not Jeffrey Hurlings or anything where sand's going to fix everything.
All right, Weech.
Yeah, so this involves Rodder D.
Mm-hmm.
Look, no matter how you slice what's happened at these races, Chet Lawrence has won them all. Deegan's won 3 out of 4. It's a collision course is coming. It's really Jet and Deegs. We know this will happen. This will be the next rivalry for the future. I'm glad Tomac's not retiring. Maybe someday Chase Sexton won't be banged up and we'll be back, et cetera, et cetera.
And we think Deegs is going to go 450 motocross next year,
That's what I think.
Yep.
So, Rodder D, respect to you, but we're going to remove this from your mantle. Is it time to revive? Yeah. Race when it's time. Is it now Jet Lawrence will race him when it's time in the Deegan camp?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I think it's time to bring it back. Yep.
You know, it is
like
funny.
I feel like he's vanquished Rodder D. I think he's clear.
Yeah, he has. Shout out Rodder D.
Clear.
I mean,
I like
Rodder D and Cochran. Rodder D and Cochran are like the same guy to me. And I always thought Rodder D was a level above Cochran a little bit. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting for either one. And we've got we got highlights here and there, but I think
Cochran has shown more highlight.
But in Supercross, has Cochran shown more highlight? I feel like Rodder D has.
I don't think we've even seen him in Supercross,
have we?
Yeah, he
hasn't really raced. Rodder D hype coming in was certainly higher than Cochran.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well,
anyway,
Cochran did.
We moved on. We're racing when it's time is now. We will race Jet Lawrence when it's time.
I did get a... I mean, look, social media sucks, and everyone's going to complain about everything, right? We even got tweets about the red flag and was there really lightning or whatever from people who are not even there. But anyways, like I said on Twitter, like I'll just go with the people who are there. Like I'm not going to question this. Anyways, social media sucks. I get it. But there are people who are like, this series sucks. It's Jet and Deegs. And they are right. It is Jet and Deegs. They've won every race but one. But again, I'm as jaded and as cynical as they come, as you two know.
Yes.
Like I am grouchy, old man yelling at the clouds, unhappy with everything. I am that guy. But this has been a good series, even though these two are winning. It is like the 250 class is whatever. I guess if you want to talk about 250 class, yes, it's kind of been a drag, let's say, a bit. But honestly, this 450 class, even though the Aussie kid has won them all, it's still really interesting to me, and I'm still really excited to watch these motos play out. You know? I don't know. That's just me.
I'm right there with you. One of the problems we have is that everyone wants to complain about everything. This is how life works, people. You can't have dessert every single meal, always. Everything's not always going to be awesome all the time. Don't complain. Second of all, sometimes this is just an appetizer. Maybe we will have dessert for dinner, but it's just an appetizer. The entire summer of 2004 was Stu demolishing everyone on the 125 and RC demolishing everyone on a 250. And it was super boring because you knew they were going to win. But at the same time, you're like, this is great. This is setting up an entire year of excitement over the only thing that's going to happen is they're going to have to race each other. So I almost feel like even if they do, you're right, Steve, the 450 has been exciting. But even if that drifts apart and they're just wanting it easy every weekend, to me, it's fine because it's setting up this fantastic collision course either way.
And when the guy that's banged up comes back, I mean, you got to feel like he's in the top five mix, right?
I mean, he deserves that. No question.
Yeah.
Like he is a legit contender, period.
When he heals up from these horrific injuries, he will be right there.
I hope he's okay.
I hope he's okay too. And then I think he's going to be right in this mix, and that'll make it even cooler.
Yeah.
You know?
And I do want to say,
there was part of me that expected to see him at the US Open trying to qualify this week.
Playing golf.
Yes.
Yeah. Not the Supercross race in Vegas.
No, the US Open that was in Pittsburgh.
Okay. I do want to say, I'm not comparing. We all can say this. JT were in these races. RC was dominating more in 04 than Jet's dominating now, and Stu was dominating more in 04 than Deegan's dominating now. I'm not saying it's the same, but the general storyline of, oh my God, when these two finally face off, this is going to be insane. This whole year has helped setting that up, even if you do think it's boring, so it's still great.
Yeah. No. Like I said, Lord, I just wanted to...
Deegan's going to be insane.
And I'm cynical and grouchy as they come, but it's been entertaining. The 4D class anyways for me to watch through four rounds. And now they get a break. We're back at the sands of Southwick. Keith Johnson, Doug Henry, John Dowd, all of that. So should be a good time. Yep. Awesome.
Are you coming to the race, Steve?
What?
You coming to Southwick?
Coming to Southwick?
All right.
Red Sox game on Sunday.
I'm in.
Red Sox Jays. Can't wait. Mm-hmm.
My kid, thanks for hooking us up with the tickets and my kid's reaction. Huge baseball fan. Never been to an MLB game. Hates those two teams. That was his reaction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hates the Blue Jays.
Well, he's a Yankees fan and they're division rivals, as you know.
I don't see how you can hate the Blue Jays, but our friend that got us the tickets.
This is you getting tickets to the Chiefs, I guess, as a Raiders fan?
I guess, true. But our friend that got us the tickets has told us no cheering.
Well,
and that's going to be tough.
He's going to cheer for the Jays. So
no, that would be me.
But Steve wants to. Yeah.
So this pod after Southwick will be Monday. We will be not doing it Sunday. Sunday will be MLB gay. Also, I heard in my social DMs that Tony La Russa is back to try to make the motos again.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Tony La Russa. So stay tuned for that. All right. That's it. Fly Racing. Flyracing.com. Check them out. Maxxis, Renthal, Motorsport.com, Brunt Boots, and Onyx Maps as well. And JT Weege, thanks to Anton for editing this thing. Thanks, boys. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Racing when it's time.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change me up. Don't